God. Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. Gospel according to Matthew, the fifth chapter. We are doing a study on the greatest sermon ever preached. Now, you may not get to hear many great sermons, but you can at least hear them talked about. And so we're going to be discussing for some time now this great message. It is called a discourse. Jesus had five of them in Matthew, five great sermons. This is the longest one. And we began by talking about the Beatitudes. And I hope you didn't miss that. This is a great time talking about how believers are to be. You know, nobody could preach like Jesus. When he spoke, literally he was God speaking. He knew what we needed to hear, just like he knew what they needed to hear in that day. His words contain such truth that they are studied by great minds, and yet such great truth in such simple patterns that a child can understand and be moved. Now, Jesus is going to explain the impact of living for him. What is a life supposed to be? What kind of effect is it supposed to be that you have Jesus? You see, it's not just that you get Jesus, that you have him as your Savior and Lord. It's not just that you were baptized. It's that you start living like you know Jesus. And you start making a difference like you know Jesus. Now, when I grew up, my parents were fairly strict about some things. They didn't care what everybody else's kids did. They wanted me to behave like they wanted me to behave. And sometimes they would say, you know, I'd say, well, everybody's doing this. And they would say, well, I'm not everybody's parent. I'm your parent, and you will do things the way I want you to do it. And my dad had a big belt, and I understood I wanted to do things the way he wanted them done, lest the belt of knowledge cross the seat of wisdom. And so Jesus is trying to get us to understand there are some things he wants us to do and an effect he wants us to have if we say we are Christians. It's not just saying, oh, yeah, I'm saved. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven. It's I really know Jesus. I really want to serve him, and I want people to know him. And so Jesus begins in verse 13 and says, you are the salt of the earth. The Bible teaches that we're not supposed to be like everybody else. We have this thing within us. We kind of want to blend in. We want to be like everybody else is. But listen, if you're going to live for Jesus, there's going to be some differences about you and about the way the world lives. The world is making some turns in today's world that are very ungodly and very outside of what God teaches in his word. And it's a way that brings destruction. It doesn't bring happiness. What does God say to us as believers? He says, come you out and be you separate. He tells us in Romans, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God's people should live in this world differently from the world. We don't have to match the people in the movies. We need to match the Savior who went to a cross. Now, to be different doesn't mean that we're totally isolated. I used to wonder about these guys. There used to be groups of people that would segregate themselves to the point that they would go off to a monastery somewhere and they would live in that monastery completely separate from anyone and completely taken away. It was like, it was kind of like they thought if they lived in a hole, they would be more holy. But that's not the case. The separation God calls for is not physical separation. In John 17, he kind of gives a good concept of it. He says, we have been saved out of the world, but we are still in the world. Though we are in the world, we are not to be of the world. We have been sent into the world to be a witness. So the believer is not to conform to the world, not to be like the world, but we are to confront the world with the person of Jesus Christ. We're to confront them with a better life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That is a better life. We want our children to have a better life. God wants us to have a better life. And it's only found by walking with Jesus and allowing Jesus to control and guide you day by day. This is why Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Salt is kind of like a miracle. Now, I imagine most of you know what salt is. I imagine most of you have grown up with a salt shaker somewhere around you, and you understand the premise of salt. But did you know salt is a miracle? Salt is made up of two poisons. So when you put salt out, you're putting poison out. That's true. Chloride and sodium will kill you on their own. And so you don't want to separate those two. But when they are mixed together, they become salt, and salt actually adds to life. In fact, salt is essential for your life. Without salt, you will die. The Christian life is a miracle like salt. You see, a lost person is a poison. When you don't know Jesus as your Savior, your life is a poison. You only affect things for a downward trend. You are moving in a life that's moving away from God, away from God's desires, and the reality is if you die like that, if you die in your sins without receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will end up in a devil's hell. But God takes a lost person, and he touches a lost person's heart, and he lets him know of Jesus. Jesus who went to Calvary's cross, who suffered, bled, died, was buried, rose again from the dead. Jesus who offers himself to us. And Jesus allows us to come to know God. And so when the lost person mixes their life with the grace of God, Jesus forgives. And that lost person that was a poison with Jesus now can become a blessing. And God can use your life, no matter what your life has been, no matter what you have done, God can take you, mix you by grace with Jesus, and you can be a blessing to this world, and you can have a change in this world. And so a Christian is a miracle. All of us who know Jesus are miracles. The you in this verse is emphatic. He says, you alone are salt. The world won't find it anywhere else, only in Christians. And so what does that mean to us? It means there is a duty to spread. There are two small substances mentioned in the New Testament, mentioned quite a lot in the Bible as a matter of fact. Two small things that are kind of the opposite. One is leaven, the other is salt. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were to be made. And when a sacrifice was going to be made, there could be absolutely no leaven. Leaven is like yeast. Leaven spreads, and it spreads in dough and makes biscuits rise. Well, that's kind of a good thing. But leaven in the Bible is seen as a negative thing. Leaven is a picture of evil. You may think you can cross a line, you can disobey, you can get away with things and everything's okay, but let me tell you, when you cross a line with God, that is evil, and that evil will spread. And it spreads in your life, and it'll spread in the lives of others. Jesus said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, the Bible said, keep leaven out of sacrifices. But the Bible also said every sacrifice needs to be salted. Jesus says, we are salt. Well, he means many things by that. You know, to be salt is to have value. In Jesus' day, Roman soldiers were the the movers shakers of the day. You know how they got paid? They got paid in salt. That's right. Imagine yourself opening up your paycheck and pay envelope, and you empty out just a handful of salt. Well, in that day, it had great value. And from that, we've got a saying that came over into our day, a person is worth his salt, or a person's not worth his salt. Salt can irritate. Ever hear someone speaking of rubbing salt in a wound? Salt can sting, can burn, can irritate. If you live for Jesus, not everybody's going to be pleased with you. If you live for Jesus, your life is going to show the sin in other people's lives. And so it's going to irritate them. Just understand that. Don't be offended if they get irritated with you living for Jesus. Live for Jesus anyway. Now, you shouldn't live to be a pain. It shouldn't be your purpose to be a pain. But if you're living for Jesus, if you're doing what Jesus calls you to do, and it causes people to kind of be irritated with your lifestyle, that's God working on them. God's trying to work in their life to draw them to Jesus. And God's using you to irritate them so that they might come under conviction and know that they need Jesus. Salt seasons. Now some of you in snacks are sweet people, and some of you are salty people. You can look at me and tell I like them both. a Christian has an influence, and we have a responsibility to season this old world. Salt has a way of making food taste better. In our Christian life, we make this world better. Things should be better because of you. Now, school starts in just a short amount of time, and I know you guys are all excited about school started. You guys are really excited about it, I know. And it's going to start. If you are a Christian, your school should be better because of you. If you are a Christian, whatever clubs you are in, whatever classes you go to, whatever events you take part in should be better because of you. Your lifestyle, your helpfulness, your kindness, your obedience, all should mark you as a Christian. By the way, your study habits should mark you as a Christian. When you go to school as a Christian, you don't go to school like anybody else that's just trying to get through and get by. No, you're living for Jesus, and you represent Him, and you represent Him in how you study and how you perform. Now, not everybody does the same, but you should be doing your absolute best because you're doing it for Jesus. A Christian at work should make a difference in their work. You should be the best worker that your company has. Your company should be able to depend on you. Now, people have different skills, but your work ethic should be better than anybody else's because you're working for Jesus. You're lifting up Jesus at that place of business. Listen, your family should be happier because of you. You shouldn't be causing your parents difficulty. You should be sick. If you want to have the best life possible as a student, obey your parents. Just do what they want you to do. They will knock themselves out to make you happy. Now, you don't do what they want you to do, they may just knock you out. But your family should be a better place because of you, because you, how you live and how you walk with Jesus. And as a church, we should get excited when we come together, and we do. We should have fun when we come together, and we do, because we come together lifting up Jesus. Wherever Jesus is, there's excitement. Wherever He is, there's peace. Wherever He is, there is hope. Jesus should season your life, and then Jesus should season others through your life. Salt makes you thirsty. Now, get through this without leaving the room to get water, okay? Salt has a way of parching your throat. One of my first jobs, when I stopped working for my dad, One of my first jobs was at Rainbow Drive-In Theater. Drive-in theaters were the thing back in those days. And yes, we did have cars, and they did use them to drive in. And we had electricity, we had movies, had all those kinds of things. And those days, movies that got old ended up at the drive-in. Now, when we would prepare for people to come to the drive-in, we had a ritual we would go through. And one of the things we would do is we would pop the popcorn. Now, we didn't worry about whether it was hot or not. That really wasn't an issue at the drive-in theater. We just had to have plenty of it. And one of the things you were taught very early in that process is you pop the popcorn. You did it without burning yourself, which took a while to learn that. And then you salted it. Now, I don't mean you just salted it. I mean you salted it. And you salted it a little bit more. And then before you sealed it up, you salted it. The big deal they taught us was there's never too much salt. There can be too little. Make sure you salt it, and then re-salt it. Now, that was very important in the theaters of that day, and that's what we did. And so we salted the popcorn. And if you got popcorn from us at Rainbow Drive-In Theater, it had enough salt. Now, in today's world, theaters don't push the salt so much. Popcorn, yes, it's salted, but you know what they do is they say, would you like butter with that? And sometimes they give you real butter, but most of the times they give you this butter concoction. In both cases, guess what one of the main ingredients is? Salt. It's loaded with it. And by the way, do you want a flavor topping? Salt, again. And so they have their little ways that they're moving salt in through the flavors, through the butter. They're putting more and more salt in. Why all the salt? You know how they make the most money? It's not in selling popcorn. It's in selling drinks. And by the way, guess what one of the ingredients of soft drinks are? Salt. It creates a thirst, which creates a need to have something to drink, and the more you drink, the more you need to drink. Listen, if you are living for Jesus, you should create a thirst in somebody else. They should see something about you that they just want, that they should see a peace in you. They should see a comfort in you. They should see a joy in you. They should see you in the situations when the sky is falling, but you're keeping your head up and you still have a smile on your face because you know Jesus. And as a result, they I want what that guy has. I want to be like they are. Salt preserves. Now, the first disciples were fishermen, and they not only caught fish, they had to keep the fish until they got the fish to where they could sell the fish. And one of the ways that you did that is you salted the fish. You salt meat because you don't want bacteria to grow, and so you salt it to keep it from spoiling, especially in that day. Jesus is talking about a preserving quality of Christians. You know, the only reason this world is holding together is because of believers. We are living in a decaying society. We are living in a society that is headed away from God, that is headed downward, and that is breaking apart, and we see the moral compass of this nation breaking apart with it. We are the salt of the earth. We are to preserve this earth as long as we can. Now, I got to tell you, it's going to decay anyway, so why should we worry about it when it's going to decay anyway, where it's going to fall apart anyway? Because our job is to keep it from decaying as long as possible. Our job is to stand for what's right as long as possible. Our job is to keep God's standards as long as possible, because every day we hold it together is a day when souls can come to Jesus. And our job is to get souls to Jesus. We hold back the corruption by living for Jesus so souls can be saved. And so, believers, we are to be salt. We're to hold back corruption. We're to promote Jesus. We're to make people hungry and thirsty for Jesus. Now, for this to happen, the salt's got to get out of its shaker. It's got to be spread. There's a danger to spoil. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? When Jesus made that statement, they didn't have the refined salt that we had today. They had salt that came in blocks, and if the salt got wet, then it would just melt away and it would not be salty anymore. Instead of adding salt, you would be adding dirt because the salt had gone away. And so you just have the residue of the dirt left behind. And so it was very dangerous for that to happen. If you left it on the earth, it would melt into the earth and the salt would not be salty anymore. And it would be worthless. If the salt got to be worthless, it could not have an effect. Now, what does it mean to a Christian to become worthless? Let me be quick to say, it doesn't mean you will lose your salvation. What Jesus does for you in saving you can never be taken away from you. You can't send it away because Jesus does it. Jesus keeps you saved. He is the one that will usher you into glory because he is the one that went to the cross and paid it all for you. But my friend, you can lose your worth as a Christian. You can lose your value as a testimony. You can make your life so people won't listen to you anymore. When you allow the world to influence you and you try to become like the world, you know, it bugs me that a lot of churches are just trying to become like the world. They want to have the music that the world has. They want to have the setting that the world has. It's all about becoming like the world. Let me tell you, friend, we are in the world. We are not of the world. You know, our goal is not to be like the world. Our world is to make an impact for Jesus so that the world becomes like Jesus. Be careful. Be careful when you start to change with the world. There are those that want the church to change our teaching and change our preaching so that we're more like the world. Well, let me tell you. We believe in God, and we believe God has given us this book. And so at Northside Baptist Church, we're going to go by this book. We're going to stick with what God says because we don't want to lose our saltiness. We want to be able to influence the world. We're not worried about trying to keep up with the world. The world needs to be worried about trying to keep up with Northside Baptist Church. Lot went down to Sodom. He went down to Sodom. He started hanging around the Sodomites. He started hanging around the people of Sodom. He started becoming like the people of Sodom. What did it do for old Lot? Well, he got away from God. And as he got away from God, he lost his children. Ultimately, he has lost his wife. He lost his family. He lost his purpose. Did he get out of Sodom alive? Well, yeah, because God's salvation is true. And he got out of Sodom alive. Oh, but what he lost. You go with the world, you can lose your family, you can lose your testimony, you can lose all that has value. Oh, my friend, don't allow your sinfulness, don't allow your desire to be like the world and to do stuff that the world is doing, don't allow that to take you out of God's way. You know, pretty soon, there was a day in America coming out of World War II when everybody went to church. I mean, everybody went to church. The president at that time was Dwight Eisenhower. I like Ike. And so Eisenhower, from the Oval Office, challenged Americans to be in church. Wasn't that great? To have your president challenging people to be in church. Southern Baptists had a million more in 54 and reached it. And you know, so, you know, there was a big move and churches across the land were full. And on Sunday, most places didn't sell anything. They had these laws that you couldn't sell on Sundays. And so what did people do on Sundays? Well, they went to church. And so it was part of the culture to be in church. Just a few years ago, about 15 years ago, if you were in Columbus, Georgia, you know what? They didn't play baseball on Wednesdays, they didn't practice on Wednesdays, and they didn't practice or have games on Sundays. Why? Because they respected the church. Well, now it doesn't seem to matter what day it is, does it? If we lose our impact, it makes a difference. And so you have children growing up without any thought of church because their parents have forgotten church and they only come on blue moon occasions. And so, this following God is not a daily activity. And so it's a problem in the home. The problem in the home is certainly a problem in the church. It's a problem in the community. It's a problem in the city, the state, and it's a problem in the nation. You want to know what America needs? America needs to get back to church. We need to surrender to God's will, be guided by God, be faithful to God's house, be faithful to God's word, raise our children to be likewise so that we might influence a lost world. I want to get in the way of people going to hell. There's a disgrace to squander. If the salt has lost its savor, it is good for nothing but to be cast out. Here again, doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It means you lose your influence. A Christian that does not influence others is like a car that won't start, a clock that won't tell time, a TV with no picture. It is a tragedy when people do not respect believers anymore. You know, there are places I'll go and people will find out that I'm a preacher and all of a sudden they'll watch their language. You know, and I sometimes tell them, you don't have to watch your language for me, but I will tell you, God is listening all the time. A Christian that does not influence others loses their value to the kingdom of God. When believers fall, people laugh at them. And hey, we all fall. We're not perfect. Not a one of us are. And when we fall, people point at us, they laugh at us, they say, really, there's nothing to Christianity anyway. What do we do when people fall? We better pick them back up. We pick them back up. We get them back to Jesus. We get them back in God's service, and then God uses them again. You know, we look at this old world. We look at what's happening and how things are turning and how, in school they're not really teaching all the things that are true anymore. And there's a difficulty going on everywhere. And we say, this society is just terrible. It stinks. And we blame the society. Well, we probably need to look where the real problem is. Billy Graham had a dear friend, John Scott. John Scott was a great preacher, book writer. In one of his books, he said this: if the house is dark at night, there's no sense in blaming the house for being dark. That's what happened when the sun goes down. The question to ask is, where's the light? Again, if meat goes bad and becomes inedible, there's no sense in blaming the meat for decay. That's what happens when bacteria is left to be free and to breed, and it contaminates. The question is, where's the salt? Similarly, if society becomes corrupt like a dark night or a stinking fish, there is no sense in blaming society for its corruption. That's what happens when human evil is unchecked and unrestrained. The question is, where is the church? And where is the salt of Jesus? My friend, we need to be the church, and we need to be the salt of Jesus. We need to be living like Jesus, whether we're in here or whether we're out there, whether we're at work or whether we're at play, whether we're on the ball field or whether we're working away. In the natural world, if salt loses its savor, its saltiness, it's just thrown away. Well, what about you? Has your life lost its saltiness for Jesus? I have good news for you. God does not throw his children away. What cannot happen to salt can happen to you. Salt can't get salty again, but you can be redeemed as a believer. As a Christian, God can pick you up. As a Christian, God will forgive you. As a Christian, God will take that sin out of your life. As a Christian, God will give you a testimony again. As a Christian, God will lift you up, and God will bless you, and God will bless others through you. As a Christian, God can do for you what you wish you could do for yourself, but you can't. As a Christian, take 1 John 1:9. Write it down. Memorize it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That means, my friend, if you have lost your saltiness, if you have messed up in your own life, if you have gotten away from God, you're a Christian, you know you're a Christian, but you've gotten away from God, there is a way back, and that is to come back to Jesus. That is to ask him to forgive you. He will meet you with forgiveness. He doesn't throw you away. He wants to redeem you. He wants to pull you in. He wants to lift you up. He wants to give you victory again. Jesus wants to do that for you as a Christian. Now, let me tell you, not everybody here is a Christian. You've never invited Jesus to come into your heart and save your soul. My friend, you are lost. You've never truly turned from your sin and turned to Jesus. You've never asked Jesus to make a change in your life. My friend, you are lost. And what you need is you need Jesus. In just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity. All you have to do is come down, walk down, and just say, I want Jesus. John David will be here. I'll be here. Just say, I want Jesus. We know what that means. You want Jesus. It's kind of clear. We will pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. He will save your soul this very moment. He will. He wants to. You may say, well, God won't have me. Yeah, he will. How do I know? The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. That includes you. It even included me as an 8-year-old boy. If you don't know Jesus, your opportunity to come to him is right now. Just walk down an aisle. I want Jesus. If you're online and listening and you've never received Jesus, but you want to receive him, bow your head and invite Jesus to come into your heart to forgive your sin and to save your soul. Today can be a difference maker. Now, what about believers? The reality is, if all Christians would just live like Christians, our world would be much different. And if all Northside Baptist Christians would just live like Christians, we'll make an impact. So maybe today is a day of change. Maybe today is a day of challenge for your own life. Maybe today you need to ask God to cleanse your life of your sin. Maybe today you need to get back in God's will and allow God to work through you. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray. You don't have to say anything to me. Talk to God. And if you will come in sincerity and ask God for his forgiveness, you will get it. And you will get up from your prayer clean in Jesus, with a new purpose, to salt this old world. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask now that you would move in our hearts. Father, in this room are some that have never met Jesus as their Savior, and Father, they are here right now because they have the opportunity. I pray that you would give them the courage. Don't let them worry about what anybody else is going to think or say. Let them just be concerned with Jesus. And Father, I pray that they'd be willing to to step out, to walk forward, and to say, I want Jesus. For Christians, Father, oh Lord, forgive us for where we have failed you. I pray, God, that this would be a point of personal revival, a time of personal getting back to you and getting the sin out. Father, I pray that you would call us to the altar, and Father, before you, we would ask for forgiveness and you would give it. Father, do a work in your own children to restore your salt to this old world. And let it start here. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come as we sing?